Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
What is good, Miami Nation? Stephen Sports Blog here today on MSL Radio. Now, I know it wasn't on yesterday. That's because, like you probably saw on Twitter, I had other things to do for this company because we were a little behind on articles and stuff. But today, I have for me, as always, Casey Wallach. Casey, how are you today?
Great. How are you, Stephen?
I'm all right. And get fans, listeners, Casey, we have somebody very special on today. From CBS Sports Miami, we have Emmanuel Chang on with us today. Emmanuel, are you on with us?
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing today?
I'm good. How are you? How are you today, Mr. Chang?
Good. Looking forward to this game four. Hopefully, it is a series for an NBA Finals, but we shall see how that goes. And also here, waiting for Saturday as Canes baseball takes on the Florida Gators. So that should be fun as well.
Oh yeah, I am so looking forward to tonight's game in particular. Because if you ask me, if the Warriors lose tonight, the series is over, no matter what, no matter if they win game five or not, the series is over if they lose tonight's game four. But Mr. Chang, from what I've heard, you are a big-time NFL fan. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
All right. So today I've thought of a few NFL topics that I would like to go over with today because I know you're an NFL fan. You may have some feedback on what me and Casey would like to talk about. So today's first topic here on Stephen's Sports Blog is MVP talk. Now, last season, there was a big debate on which player was going to win the MVP. It was either Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, or it was J.J. Watt, defensive tackle for the Houston Texans. Now, I was personally going all the way for J.J. Watt because this guy was being so versatile the whole season. He's catching touchdown passes, throwing touchdown passes, scoring touchdowns on defense, according to somebody, like 20.5 sacks, most in NFL history in a season. But unfortunately, that's just not how it worked. And Aaron Rodgers, for like the second or third time in his career, has won the NFL MVP. Now, I want to ask you first, Mr. Chang. Do you believe that Aaron Rodgers deserved the MVP last season?
Absolutely. I think that once the NFL gets down into the playoff scenarios, I think it's the quarterback that wins you most of the games. I give a lot of credit to J.J. Watt, though. He made unbelievable plays, sacks everywhere, pick sixes. But when it comes down to the NFL playoffs, and I'm a firm believer in this, it always, to me, it comes down to the play of the quarterback. You saw where Tom Brady, he went down the field in the fourth quarter, two drives against the number one defense in the entire league, went down the field and scored two touchdowns. Russell Wilson, he had a chance as well. He went right down the field, and yet, unfortunately, we all know what happened in the last play, in which we could all probably agree, or at least most of the NFL fans can say, well, you should have handed the ball off to Lynch. But to me, I have no issue with Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP. He won that game against Dallas at home. To me, I still think that the Green Bay Packers offensive coach should have, or the coach himself, he should have gave him the ball, had him throw it to win it. But I have to me, Aaron Rodgers was the number one player in all the NFL. Yeah, he probably had one bad game, and that was at the Bills. But besides that, I think it comes down to the quarterback position once you make the playoffs in the NFL and who wins the MVP.
Okay. I can agree that it all just comes down to playoffs, so it's just kind of the quarterback. And probably that is why that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP, is because Houston did not even make the playoffs this year. So I guess that is a good case. Now, Casey, I know, of course, you're a Green Bay Packers fan, and I already know your answer. But I'm going to ask you anyway, because we're on a show, and I like asking questions. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers deserved the MVP last season?
Yes, 100%. You know, you have to think about, you know, it's not best player, which I think J.J. Watt is such a well-rounded player. I mean, he's made plays on offense even, and I mean, he's amazing. But, you know, it's the most valuable, and, you know, would the Texans have made the playoffs with Rodgers as quarterback and just, you know, a regular replacement for Watt type thing? Yes, but, like, would the Packers have made the playoffs with J.J. Watt on the D-line and, like, Dalton or, you know, just some run-of-the-mill quarterback, you know, doing the offense? I would say no. And, I mean, his game, you know, that game against Dallas was incredible. You know, that last pass when that game was, you know, he was basically, you know, halfway immobile and everything, and, you know, he got that pass in there with the, you know, it was a real tight window, and it was a pass that very few quarterbacks, you know, could make when totally healthy. And, I mean, now there's, you know, returning the game against, you know, Detroit that was for the, you know, NFC North title and everything, you know, was, you know, probably one of the best moments, you know, in Packer fan, I should say, history. But plus, he's just, I mean, and he's also winning at life. So he's just great. He's
okay.
Dating Olivia Munn. I mean, you know, what can I say?
All right, well, I personally don't know who Olivia, whatever it is, but you guys, you both make very good points. And going back to what Mr. Chang said, the reason, you know, and this might be true, might not be true, the reason that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP is because Packers went to the playoffs and the Texans went home. Now, sure. I still wish that J.J. Watt had won the MVP, but we can't go back, can't change it. Start a look next season, J.J. Watt. Still having a good summer regardless. Now, Mr. Chang, not only I heard that you're not only an NFL fan, but you are a big-time Philadelphia Eagles fan. Is that also true?
That is correct.
That is correct. Okay. So, as you know, Philadelphia Eagles, they have four quarterbacks that could possibly start week one.
You know that's
time.
Always going to be the first question.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
I mean,
Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Barkley. Mark Sanchez and Sam Bradford. Now, before I get to who I think is going to start week one, I want to ask you, Mr. Chang, who you think the Eagles should start week one?
Is Nick Foles still on the roster?
No, it's Nick Foles. Nick Foles went to the same one, unfortunately.
Which quarterback would I want? I mean, I have to go with Sam Bradford because when I look at it, I see a guy in Mark Sanchez who had an opportunity to take the ropes in. He played great all the way up to a win. End up in Washington in a game you needed to win. You obviously lose that game, which then cuts your chances of making the playoffs. Matt Barkley, I think I saw him start twice the year before. I mean, he looked absolutely lost. Tim Tebow just does have a playoff win. Do I think it is a fluke? Yes and no. He did have to make the throw over the middle to Demaryius Thomas for that win. I just have to think that maybe if Sam Bradford can stay healthy, I have to put my money into Sam Bradford being the week one starting quarterback at Atlanta on a big stage on Monday night.
Okay. So you have Sam Bradford starting week one at the Atlanta Falcons Monday Night Football ESPN. Casey,
I am so sorry. Unless Chip all of a sudden says, well, you know, he calls up Tennessee and says, we're going to give up our next first five picks for the next 5 years. Give up Marcus Mariota, because we all thought that's who the Eagles wanted.
I'm still hoping that happens.
Yeah.
And, like, going from number 20 to top three, you know, was still a reach. But, hey, I mean, with Chip Kelly, we've seen anything is possible. Because first he gives away your top wide receiver. Then the following year, your leading rusher of your team, he trades him as well. So with Chip Kelly, anything's possible now.
Yeah, that is true. So, Casey, I want to ask you now, who the Eagles should start week one?
Well, I mean, Bradford, you know, the main thing, you know, like Mr. Chang said, you know, he's got to stay healthy, and, you know, his health is always, you know, questionable. I thought Mark Sanchez did a, you know, a pretty decent job, you know, when he came in last year. It's just, you know, a little inconsistency. He started out, you know, pretty good, but, you know, there's just, you know, those little flaws. I think, you know, with some work he could, you know, potentially, you know, compete with Bradford, or be able to step in for Bradford if Bradford got injured. Tebow, you know, a lot of the talk is about, you know, him being, you know, the red zone type quarterback, in, you know, especially with the, you know, rule changes, if they're going to do more two-point conversions, you know, type that and sliding him in at that situation. But I would probably have to say that more likely than not, it would be Bradford.
Now, I agree that I do think that Bradford will get to start week one, but I don't think he deserves it for many reasons. One, he's 18-30-1 as a starter. It's not good. He's towards ACL, maybe both. He's obviously injury prone. So I don't think he deserves it, but I think he's going to get it. If I was Chip Kelly, I'm starting Tim Tebow week one, because yes, Tim Tebow didn't do much to the Jets, but the Jets don't do much with themselves anyway. The Eagles, when Tim Tebow's the Broncos are a winning organization, as they probably always will be from here on out. The Eagles are just like the Broncos. They can win with the good players, and Tim Tebow is a good player. He's to prove it. Mr. Chang, can you stay with us through the break?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, when we come back, we got more NFL talk. This is the Steven Sports Blog here on MSL Radio.
So at the end of the day, I mean, you could keep that to yourself. You don't even have to let anybody know, because at the end of the day, you know, if somebody's coming out, you're getting all the attention. I'm not saying that's what Michael Sam's intentions were, but there's always another side to the story. At the end of the day,
Jesus Christ.
The Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson is 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here only on MSL Radio, Monday through Friday. Check it out. I know I messed up, but whatever. Listen to the show. Ah. Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Want to learn how to scan your swagger? Get insight on that and more from Dia Hicks every weekend, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on MSL Radio.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Inside the Sports World with Darren Williamson, Stephen Err, and Andrew Powell is every Saturday between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Double G Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Err at Stephen_Err@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog, for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
What's good, Miami? And I guess pretty soon I'll have to say what's good, nation, since we're going national. But this is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson, and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine, because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
That's right, Miami. We are back here on Stephen Sports Blog with you on MSL Radio. And once again, Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. Go check them out. It's a good band. But today on the show, we have Emmanuel Chang from CBS Sports Miami. We love having you here on Stephen Sports Blog today, Mr. Chang. And we're happy you can come on with us.
Anytime, my friend.
So, next topic for you guys, and we're gonna start really early in the NFL season. We're still in the OTA state of NFL season. But I want to explain why I think the Colts will win the AFC in 2015. Now, we remember Andrew Luck. Drafted in 2012, his first season, they lose in the wild card. His second season, they lose in the divisional round. In the third season, they lose in the championship game. So I'm seeing a pattern here. I see the Colts at least making it to the Super Bowl this year, and that's not the only reason. The only reason is not because of the pattern, it's because who they got this offseason. They acquired running back Frank Gore from the 49ers, obviously a great running back. And they required a Rivals wide receiver. Houston Texans wide receiver Andre Johnson has joined the Colts. So you guys, I don't know if you guys agree with me, but you can't tell me the Colts are not a contender in the AFC come next season.
They
well,
are,
I mean, I...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're our guest.
When I look at the Colts, yes, they got more power now on the offensive side, signing Frank Gore, signing Andre Johnson, drafting Philip Dorsett, but yet, where are the defensive players? I mean, yes, we know that Andrew Luck can score points, and we know that this league is an offensive-driven league, but at the end of the day, you need a defense somewhere here and there, whether one that just makes plays in the fourth quarter or one that at least, you know, gives up 6 to 10 points a game. I do agree that I do see the Colts being a top team in the AFC. I just don't know if I could trust them, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Because as we saw, yeah, Tom Brady went down the field and scored against the number one defense twice. But at the end of the day, it was Malcolm Butler that made the defensive play of the game to win the Super Bowl. So, as many points as a team can score throughout the season, to me, you still need to have a defense somewhere throughout the season to win it.
That's a good point, a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just watching NFL Network. Robert Mathis is actually not going to be ready for training camp, so not a good sign for the Colts defense. But, Casey, like I said, I have the Colts on top of the AFC next season. Who do you have for the AFC champs?
Well, I mean, you know, I agree with everything about the Colts and their defense. You know, Gore and Johnson are great, you know, offensive pieces, but, you know, they are getting older, you know, they're vets. But I think it's good leadership for the team. I'm going to have to go with the team in the AFC East. And although the AFC East has gotten more interesting and, you know, potentially a lot more competitive, I'm still going to have to go with the Patriots. And the Jets have a great defense, but, you know, questions at quarterback. And they acquired Brandon Marshall, which, you know, is also a good piece for the offense. The Bills, you know, they got Shady McCoy, you know, and Rex Ryan coaching. But, again, big, you know, red flag, no quarterback. And the Dolphins, you know, they've, you know, got Tannehill, who, you know, I think is a top 10 type quarterback maybe, and Ndamukong Suh, which is huge for the defense, you know, and the wide receivers they got. But I'm still going to have to go with the Patriots. You know, once Tom Brady's playing again and everything, I think they'll, you know, still be pretty dominant on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, well, it is the fact that Tom Brady's out for four games that I believe will have an impact on the Patriots' run for Super Bowl 50 this season and a repeat. But I said the Colts would be AFC champs, but I didn't say the Colts are going to win it all. Team I have winning it all is my rival and Emmanuel's main rival, the New York Giants. I have the New York Giants winning Super Bowl 50 for two reasons. One, the Giants have won the last two Super Bowls, came in four-year intervals. And here we are 4 years later after the Giants' last Super Bowl. So, you know, the pattern, and again with the pattern thing. But also because both of our receivers are healthy, Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz. They have Jason Pierre-Paul on defense signing a franchise tag, so you know he's going to want to step up his game. And then you also have Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen is a versatile running back from the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. So the Giants have the team to win the Super Bowl. Now, guys, so you heard me. I have the Giants and the Colts in Super Bowl 50. Now, I want to hear both of your predictions for Super Bowl 50, very early predictions.
Super Bowl prediction, and it's not even week one. The team that I see that maybe if their quarterback can actually be on par, now that they traded for Mike Wallace and they have Adrian Peterson, and we know what Mike Zimmer does on the defensive side of the ball, I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is not going to have the last say, but if the Minnesota Vikings can somehow play up to par, Adrian Peterson can run the ball, Teddy Bridgewater can throw it, you know, to Charles Johnson, to Kyle Rudolph, to Mike Wallace. Those are good weapons to have, especially being a young quarterback. So, and I see the way that Mike Zimmer has had this type of D already in the first year. So, I'm going to have to go with the Vikings in the NFC side. And then in the AFC, I want to go with the Colts, as much as you've said, because of the offensive power weapons and stuff like that. But I think that Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos are not done yet. I think hiring Gary Kubiak, a guy that runs the ball, runs the play action, is going to actually help Peyton Manning, and it's going to make him a more successful quarterback, that he won't have to be there every game, drop passing, you know, 30 times a game. I look for the Denver Broncos, if they can stay healthy, and I know they just say that their left tackle Clady just got hurt and he's out for the year. But if they're able to run the ball and, you know, create more plays for the running backs and less throwing off Peyton Manning, because we know how Peyton Manning can be when he's healthy and not overused. He is the best quarterback that's left from the era that then begins with, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and so on and so forth. But if Peyton Manning can stay healthy and if the Denver Broncos can actually fix their little defensive problems and run the ball effectively, I look forward to a Denver Broncos versus Minnesota Vikings Super Bowl.
I have a question for everybody on this show. Did y'all forget about the Seattle Seahawks? Did y'all not remember the damn Seattle Seahawks?
Emmanuel Chang,
Minnesota Vikings and the New York Giants? Go out y'all's damn mind. Come on,
Emmanuel Chang, this is Andrew R. Powell, the CEO and founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. Andrew, we have Emmanuel Chang from
CBS Sports
Miami.
I mean, you know what, though? I kind of thought about the Seattle thing, but then I thought about it, and I think that I don't believe Pete Carroll can tell this team now, not that he can't coach them, but after what happened last season, this is not college football. This is the NFL, and this is a forget-but-you-don't-forget type of league. I just think that they're going to run Marshawn Lynch into the ground, knowing that they probably are going to use him for one more final year. And then, yes, they signed Jimmy Graham, but if Jimmy Graham couldn't do anything yet with Drew Brees and Sean Payton and, you know, drafting Brandon Cooks, that offense wasn't really much. And when you look at it from the Seattle side, do you trust Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, these guys to step up to make this offense better. I'm not saying that the defense will not be great. The question is, will the offense, and, you know, of course, they have Russell Wilson, a guy that's won a Super Bowl and has lost one as well. Not many quarterbacks in today besides Payne, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger can say that. But I just don't think that after what happened last year on the final play of the game, I think something's going to happen throughout the season that I don't think this team can click. I'm not saying that they went off luck, you know, for the last 2 years. They should have been back-to-back champions. I just think that
them being that close to repeating as champions only a yard away, you don't think that that's going to add so much motivation and fuel to the Seahawks?
Maybe to the defensive players because they know that they're 1 yard away from winning it, but from the offensive side, listen, I just cannot trust a Doug Baldwin, a Jermaine Curtis. I trust Russell Wilson, but he has to throw the ball to these guys, you know, and then to do a pick play with Lockett, I just think this creates some type of tension, at least on the offensive side of the ball, not the defensive side.
All right, and one more thing before we let you go, Mr. Chang. I agree with you that the Seahawks are not going to repeat. That's not because of the offense. It's because of the defense. Half of the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, no. So here's what I am going to say. How about, Andrew, if I tell you that the Minnesota Vikings will be traveling to the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game? Does that make it sound better?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for me to see the Vikings in the damn playoffs, period, let alone the damn Super Bowl.
Hey, I'm telling you, Teddy Bridgewater is from down here from South Miami. I covered high school sports. This guy was a polished-ready quarterback from the moment he left Miami and Northwestern, went to Louisville, beat the Florida Gators, a top-five defense, showed him up in the Sugar Bowl. I'm telling you, you give him a Mike Wallace and Adrian Peterson and Mike Zimmer, who coaches nothing but defense. I'm just saying, I know it's still early, it's not week one, but hey, listen, I could actually change my whole team thing around week one, so just give me a call back after the whole training camp
season, right,
and then I might give you...
Hey, Chang, you need to come on my show sometime so we can make a bet on air.
No problem, sounds good.
Emmanuel Chang, 560 WQAM and CBS Sports Miami. Chang, I want to thank you so much for being here today on Steven Sports Blog.
Thank you.
No problem, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Talk to you next time.
Take care, man.
Peace.
All right. So, Casey, really quick, who do you have for Super Bowl 50? Who's the matchup for Super Bowl 50?
Packers and Patriots.
Wow. So, 31 matchup. Okay. So, it's time for our last 2 cents. I'm going to go first, as I always do. And I'm going to love this first one. I'm going to love it. I hope Darren's listening. I know he is. Giants, Chris Heston hit a no-hitter against the Mets Tuesday night. Giants have hit a no-hitter / perfect game each of the last 4 seasons. This is the first time the Mets have been no-hits since the late Daryl Kyle did it against the Astros in 1993. Browns punter Andy Lee changed his number to the number 8 in honor of his daughter Madeline, who was born January 27th and died 8 days later of post-birth complications. She swallowed fluid during a C-section, was given a breathing tube, but 5 days later she got an infection she succumbed to on the 8th day. It's looking like the Lakers will be taking Jahlil Okafor at 2 if he's still available. NBA draft is June 25th at 7:30 on ESPN. The Braves and the Padres bought out the boxing gloves today, clearing benches just 11 pitches into the game.
Yeah, the Braves whooped that ass, too.
For more information on that, follow at 120 Sports on Twitter. The Heat are offering D. Wade $12 million for 3 years. He wants $20 million for 3 years. It's obvious that talks are going nowhere with the Heat.
Actually, they are. I've heard from my sources that work with the Miami Heat that have told me that Dwayne Wade is getting all the money that he wants. He's getting the majority of it in the first year, and then he will take a pay cut after that first year. So basically, he's still going to get all the money that he wants, but he's still going to give the Heat flexibility.
All right. Well,
I don't know where you're getting your information, Steven, but you're wrong.
I went through ESPN Sports Center, everything. I was all over Twitter.
Well, I don't give
and
a damn
one,
what ESPN
last
says.
Last one for today.
I trust my people. Later.
Let me do one.
Okay. Last one for today. Obvious. The Steelers released their training camp schedule yesterday. We're still waiting for the Dolphins to do the same. All right, Casey. Let's go.
All right, quick.
Yes.
The Indianapolis Colts hung a AFC finalist banner Shut up. They hung an AFC finalist banner in their stadium yesterday. You know, it's like a participation banner, basically. And it's like, I don't know if they got certificates or whatever, the players, or trophies or something, but I just thought that was crazy.
All right, so I want to thank Casey for being on today. I want to thank Andrew Marine on today. I want to thank whoever for listening. I want to thank Emmanuel Chan for being on today. And if you're listening right now, we're at the exclusive part of the show where you can only listen to the podcast on blogtalkradio.com. Enjoy tonight's game floor. Let's go Warriors to stay alive. We'll hear from you again tomorrow.
Woo!
You have been listening to Stephen Sports Blog.
Man, that was a late outro.
Here
on Come on, Darren.
MSL Radio.
He's my enemy.